What's going on, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Blue Jays, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your co-host, Lucas Weiss. Of course, I want to thank all the listeners that make Locked On Blue Jays your first listen of the day. You can find my work on Twitter at Weiss Sports, where my work can be found at Sportsnet, ESPN, The Undefeated, The Toronto Star, as well as play-by-play broadcasting for Saga 960 AM Radio. The Locked On Blue Jays podcast is free and available wherever you get your podcasts, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
On today's episode, we're doing a little look back on this edition of the Locked On Blue Jays podcast. And of course, once again, I'm pleased to be joined by MLB analyst Jen Smith. Jen, welcome to the podcast.
I am ready to take a walk down memory lane, Lucas.
Yes, likewise, to happier times. Thought we'd do this look back today because I was been thinking about the Blue Jays and heading into next season, but I feel like there was, I like to think in big picture. I like to think in narratives and history and transition points and all that fun stuff. And one point to me, Jen, that felt like a critical juncture for this franchise was the 2015 trade deadline. Now, of course, there's no one that remains in terms of players that were on that team in 2015, a lot of the stars and the memorable names have departed for other teams and whatnot. But I think that trade deadline, and we'll get into it, the context, and of course the legacy. But I think big picture, Jen, the trade deadline 2015, 6 years later, I feel like has ripple effects just given the expectations that have now shifted with this ball club, particularly as the team starts to get good again and starts to get back to that level of popularity that we see for the Blue Jays across Canada.
It reinvigorated this fan base and it put the team back on the MLB map, right? And it showed ownership and the front office what was possible with in terms of the popularity of baseball in Toronto and across Canada. And when this team is winning, its fans come out in droves and it is an exciting atmosphere. And it is a team that, people want to watch, people want to talk about, people want to go on the radio about, and it generates so much excitement. And you're right. Like this team was very much irrelevant for years in that landscape, and that 2015 trade deadline and their subsequent run through the ALCS really just, you're right. It set the wheels in motion for bigger things and greater expectations. And yes, they then had to sort of reset and do a bit of a rebuild, but here we are kind of back in that same position with this team.
Absolutely. So when you look at sort of the context, and you can make a case like the context was really from when they won the World Series in 1993, because the Blue Jays had not made the playoffs from 1993 to 2015. That's 22 years, Jen.
I remember all of them.
Yeah. And obviously for me, I was, do not remember the two World Series wins only through, videos and things like that. But I remember growing up as a Jays fan and just thinking this one word, mediocre. That's what I always thought of the Blue Jays.
They weren't
the laughing stock that the Leafs were, or even the Raptors for that matter. But it just felt like the Blue Jays were mediocre. Like they were never great. I mean, they never made the playoffs. They had some good players. I mean, they had Carlos Delgado. They had Roy Halladay. They had Roger Clemens. And then they spent money on Vernon Wells. And I just felt like they never were able to get over that hump. Now, granted, they were in a challenging AL East environment. The Red Sox and the Yankees, of course, dominated during, you know, the 2000s and even into, you know, a little bit of the 2010s. But I just felt like that the Blue Jays, you know, could have been so much better, but just couldn't get over that hump. Now, Alex Anthopoulos, of course, becomes general manager. He's Canadian. There's a lot of intrigue there, but even he doesn't get the team over the hump. And even it's funny, like if you look back to that 2014 season, the Blue Jays, of course, could have made a move at the deadline. In fact, I think they had an above 500 record at the deadline, but Anthopoulos just didn't make the moves. He didn't pull the trigger. And sure enough, again, the same result happens. The Blue Jays don't make the playoffs. It took, though, until that 2015 season, and I feel like there were whispers amongst the players, right? Josh Donaldson, yes. His famous quote about, you know, it's about the wins. It's not about the moral victories. And then you can feel the frustration of a Jose Bautista, right, who came to this ball club and he had great seasons, but again, hadn't made the playoffs yet. Of course, Edwin Encarnacion as well. So it really did feel like it was an all or nothing, let's put the chips to the middle of the table moment for this franchise. It obviously paid off. But again, I feel like it could have happened a little bit earlier, Jen, than 2015.
It probably could have. And I think mediocre is dead on the money. That's a great word to use because, you know, really in all of those years between playoff appearances, there were a lot of, you know, reasons / excuses for where the Jays were at, right? That they were competing against these payrolls of the Yankees and the Red Sox, the tough AL East. And that being the only Canadian team, it was difficult to get free agents who wanted to sign with Toronto. And I mean, we sort of saw that play out a little bit. They had to offer an extra year to Russell Martin, for example, to get him to sign with Toronto. So, you know, if it felt like there were these reasons hanging in the background, and whether you want to call them reasons or excuses, either way, you know, you put it all together and this team was completely mediocre, and they were mediocre leading up to those 2015 trade deadline moves. And we're going to get into those in a few minutes, obviously, but with the first major move on July 28th, the Jays record at that point was 50-51. They were fourth in the AL East. They were 8 games back of the New York Yankees. They did not look like a team that was going to go on any kind of a run at that point. And we do know that these veteran players were quite vocal about believing that they had a good team, believing that they could potentially do something if only there was help provided. And then, of course, the trade deadline happened.
The one thing I will say before we get into the moves is I really do think that you hit the point there with the excuses. And I think that the perception of players not wanting to come to Toronto and Canada for, you know, all the laundry list of excuses, taxes, you know, border, all that. But I also think too, Jen, there, you know, the perception as well was ownership, right? Like, why do you think there's this feeling with fans about ownership all the time? It's because of the fact that a lot of fans remember when they didn't have the deep, you know, pockets, right? And they just kept a lot of that money when they could have obviously spent on guys to get better. So I think there was that, you know, little bit of uncertainty with this team and sort of the here we go again mentality. And that's so frustrating as a fan because you look around baseball and this is one of the sort of, you know, tenets of Moneyball is that, you know, you look around baseball and all these teams are spending, well, here we are, and we just don't have the payroll, so we can't compete. Well, I mean, that's, you know, exactly what happened. And ultimately, you know, it's unfortunate because I think, sure, and we'll get into the, you know, the magic of 2015. It was very exciting, but I feel like moves could have been done to sustain the success and get the Jose Bautista in his prime in the playoffs, or the Josh Donaldson, or even years earlier with Roy Halladay, right? Like, think about how great Roy Halladay was as a pitcher and never got to pitch in the playoffs for the Blue Jays. So it's a bit unfortunate because I just think that, like, those years of mediocrity, it felt like there was no attempt, or wise attempt, if you will, to break out of that cycle.
Yeah. And I'm sure, you know, if we were to go back and take a look at all of those different deadlines and maybe be privy to some of the conversations that took place or deals that weren't made, it probably reads as a tale of missed opportunities, right? You know, for whatever reason, whether it was the lack of money from ownership or a lack of willingness to trade prospects or whatever the case might have been. But yes, it was a long time for this team to go without making the playoffs. It was a long time for this fan base to support the team and support, you know, like you said, there were a number of good players, but when all of that essentially amounts to nothing at the end of the day, you know, it really does cause frustration to mount. And so that's, I think for a lot of people, that's why that 2015 season ended up being so magical, right? It was the end of the futility.
Right. Great word, futility. We're going to get to those trades and that quote unquote end of the futility in just a moment. But first, Jen, we're going to check in with our friends at Built Bar. This holiday season, grab the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, even better than a candy bar, Built Bar. Filled with so much holiday goodness, rich with decadent flavor, covered in chocolate, but amazingly low in calories, sugar, net carbs, and fat, and high in protein. You get the best of both worlds, delicious and healthy in Built Bar. Now, how do you get said Built Bar? Well, go to built.com and use the promo code LOCK15 and get 50% off your order. Use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. All right, we're back. Lucas Suisse, MLB analyst Jen Smith. This is the Locked On Blue Jays podcast. On the Locked On Podcast Network, we're taking a trip down memory lane, Jen, talking about the 2015 trade deadline. So we talked about the context. Now let's get into the actual trades. Because again, I mean, the team was not, like you said, Jen. I mean, they weren't that great. I mean, they were sort of, you know, right around the 500 mark, maybe one game above 500. Not the best. And that's a critical decision for a team anyway, right? Like in any trade deadline is, you know, when you're hovering around that mark, what do? Because you could easily be a seller or you could be a buyer. Now, again, the context, which I, you know, probably didn't mention until now, because with the Alex Anthopoulos, like this was it for him. This was at the end of the line for him as a general manager. Like I said earlier, he had the chance in 2014, didn't pull the trigger. They didn't make the playoffs. This felt like the last kick at the can with this core of guys, Bautista, Eddie, Donaldson, et cetera. And of course, Anthopoulos is GM. So what does he do? He puts the poker chips to the middle of the table and makes a big gamble. In the early hours of July 28th, Toronto pulled off a blockbuster trade, Jen, with the Colorado Rockies, sending Jose Reyes, Miguel Castro, Jeff Hoffman, and Jesus Tinoco to the Rockies in exchange for Troy Tulowitzki and LaTroy Hawkins. And when I remember that, Jen, like when I saw that move, like, wow, that was huge. Because Troy Tulowitzki was a good player. When you think of the upgrade that they were able to get from Jose Reyes, it was massive. I mean, you're getting a guy that was a five-time All-Star, two-time Gold Glove winner, two-time Silver Slugger, that was the first big trade where it's like, wow, finally the Jays are doing something to try to get them into relevance.
I woke up at some point in the middle of the night and saw my phone flashing and, you know, decided to see what it was all about. And sure enough, saw that that move for Troy Tulowitzki had been made. And I'm not sure I went back to sleep after that, to be completely honest. You know, it was not only was I excited, but it was so exciting to see how excited the fan base was. Right. Just the, you know, the tweets were flying and everybody was really, you know, just celebrating essentially. And it was, yes, it was, that was the moment, obviously, that you knew that Alex Anthopoulos was going for it. And I don't think anybody necessarily anticipated it. I looked it up. I went back and I looked it up. The game that the Jays played on July 28th. So that day, they had lost to the Phillies. Okay. Now, that loss put the Jays at a 50-51 record. They lost to the Phillies, who were 38-63. And it was not Jose Reyes who played shortstop in that game. It was actually Ryan Goins. Interestingly enough, just to give another name out there. And yes, I mean, Tulowitzki was essentially brought in to stabilize the defense. That was what he was brought in to do, because at that point, Jose Reyes simply wasn't cutting it. We'll just put it that way. Yeah. And that's the whole reason Tulo was brought in. And, you know, I mean, long-term, things didn't exactly work out with Tulowitzki on this team, but bringing him in not only stabilized the defense, but as I said earlier, it was that clear indication that Anthopoulos was betting on this team. And we now know, of course, that he had one foot out the door essentially. So this right. was his ride or die moment. But you know, that's what he was doing. He was going for it. I'm going to tell you an interesting tidbit about this actually in a couple of minutes when we kind of move on from this, but, yeah. And I mean, Hawkins as well, getting LaTroy Hawkins, he actually pitched pretty well down the stretch for the Jays too, 18 games with a 2.74 ERA. Now, he didn't exactly play well in the postseason, neither did Tulowitzki. But it's entirely possible that without that move, do the Jays even make the playoffs, right? That's a debatable point.
No doubt. I mean, you always need that bullpen depth. And, you know, LaTroy Hawkins certainly provided that. I mean, but one thing about Tulo, I mean, when he exited Colorado, I mean, he was hitting a slash line of 300, 348, 471, 12 homers, 53 RBIs. Like, not bad offensive numbers, too. I mean, obviously, the defense right. was the key. And, you know, he was pretty good with the Jays, too. I mean, 41 games, you know, he was, pretty good. And you know, you just got to just think about, you know, trying to figure that out. And I think it was a really interesting place putting him in the middle of the lineup. And of course, you know, flash forward a bit. Like, I remember game 5 of the ALCS against Kansas City, where they had to win that game down 3-1. He was the one that sort of broke the game open. It was a dominant win for the Jays. And he was the one that broke it open. And of course, the Tulo chants were very memorable. But that was the first trade, Jen. So if you thought, okay, you know, good trade. But the next big trade, though, and arguably, you know, the most consequential was the David Price trade. The Jays, of course, traded Daniel Norris, Matt Boyd, and Yairo Laborte to the Detroit Tigers for David Price. And at the time of that trade, the Jays were 52-51. Tied for second place 6 games back of the Yankees. So again, another move that signaled that this is a team that really wants to get themselves into the mix for the postseason. And boy, did it deliver.
So a bit more context for listeners. If you take a look at those standings, you know, the Yankees had at that point run away with the AL East, right? And then you had Toronto and the cluster, you know, that was the thing. All sort of, so Toronto was in the mix with all of those other teams. It really did look at that point like the Yankees were actually going to end up winning the division. So that was interesting. I actually, I spoke with a player on the July 28th, or sorry, I guess I spoke with the player the following day about the Tulowitzki trade. And this player expressed anger over the Tulowitzki trade. Not that Jose Reyes was gone. It had nothing to do with that. This player was angry because his assertion was that the team needed pitching. That's what they needed. And I swear that the player said to me that there was only one person who could help the team, and that was David Price. And the following day, lo and behold, David Price was on this team. And we already know how vocal a lot of these players were with the front office. I wonder if that was something that players had been vocal about. Just when you kind of, when I piece it all together, it was just very interesting that the player the Jays ended up acquiring in David Price was the one pitcher that this other player had mentioned as being sort of necessary. And he did. He came and he was the ace of the team down the stretch. Went 9-1, 2.30 ERA, 1.009 whip. Again, the playoffs were not exactly his forte that year, but without David Price, do the Jays even make the playoffs? Probably not.
Probably not. And you know, if you extrapolate the whole season, he led the majors in ERA 2.45. He was second in Cy Young Award voting. Yep. I mean, and you can make a case he probably should have won the Cy Young. I mean, like you know, again, a really solid year. And you're right. I mean, like that's again a move where, you know, you think of what David Price brings. Like this was a guy that prior to that season, four-time All-Star, he already won a Cy Young way back in 2012. So you know that you're bringing that pedigree to a team that again had not been to the playoffs, had not experienced what it was like in the postseason. And look, when that player becomes available, I think you make that move. And again, that really got the Blue Jays excited. Fans, of course, excited. And we're going to talk about this after the break, but that summer, that was the summer of baseball. And boy, was it a lot of fun. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But first, let me check with our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered all season long with more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football season continues the march to the playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, we're back. Lucas Weiss, MLB analyst Jen Smith. This is the Locked On Blue Jays podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. Again, I want to thank all the listeners who make Locked On Blue Jays your first listen of the day. So we talked about the context leading up to the trade deadline, the trades themselves. The impact, obviously, Jen, was second to none. The Jays started to win. It was an incredible, incredible second half of the season, really leading to a division title, 93-69 record. And my goodness, what did it feel like Blue Jays fever hit Toronto and all of Canada, if you will, just given how Rogers Center finally started to fill up and fans started to flock there. It was something that I hadn't seen in my lifetime. But again, I know we've talked about on previous podcasts that, you know, the current iteration of the Jays, so much more likable than 2015 for a number of reasons. But when you start winning, and that's what this 2015 Toronto Blue Jays team did win, and they won with a swagger, they won with a little bit of an edge, man, did people come in and watch this team through the stretch run all the way until clinching the AL East against the Baltimore Orioles.
I've stated on the podcast in the past that I like going to games by myself because I just like watching. And sure. So, you know, 2014 and that first half of 2015, I'd go down, I'd buy a ticket I'd buy a ticket up in the 500s and I would sit by myself in the section behind home plate, sort of towards the back rows. And, you know, nobody looked in my direction because there weren't very many fans in the stadium, right? Comparatively. And, you know, 2 weeks later, after this trade deadline, I you couldn't get a ticket, right? You were lucky to get a ticket and get a seat somewhere up in the 500s to watch this team, go on their run, because that's how invested the fan base became, right? Winning cures all. And they became this sort of, you know, swagger is the good word for it. And they sort of became like, you know, Toronto's and Canada's sort of, you know, lovable dirtbags, if you will, yeah. Right? To give you that saying, right? You know, we loved the fact that they were, you know, in the faces of other teams. We loved the fact that other fan bases hated them. We loved it. That's something that we've always wanted, I think, right? And so to see them just kind of go out there night after night and just, you know, stick it to the rest of the AL East and to climb those standings and finally take down the Yankees. I mean, that, you know, like you said, the summer of baseball, it was so incredible to watch. And as I said, like, that's what reignited the interest in this team. There were lots of Jays fans who simply liked baseball and would have watched regardless of whether the team was winning or losing. But this playoff run, this group of players, it got other people invested, right? People who may have been on the fringes of the fan base, or people who might not have even been that interested in baseball to begin with, but they jumped aboard that bandwagon and they became fans. And I'm sure that, you know, many of them stuck around after that 2015 season. And, you know, that's what part of all of this is about too, right? Is sort of, you know, reigniting a fan base that had languished in the darkness for years.
Right. Well, here's where I think the shift was so profound. There were a lot of Blue Jays fans, obviously 92-93, and there were celebrations and they were awesome, obviously. I mean, back-to-back World Series champions. But that was in a non-social media time, Jen, right?
Right, yes.
Now, flash forward 22 years later, social media is very, you know, I would say it's even more so now, but it was at, you know, Twitter was gaining a lot more popularity. People were on Instagram and a lot of those platforms. And that also increased the interest. I also think too, Jen, that there was a shift in the demographics. A lot more young people were going to the ballpark in 2015 than they were, you know, many, many years ago. I mean, it was an older demographic to follow the Blue Jays, but now a lot more younger people were coming to the ballpark, and that was huge. I mean, that, and you see when we talk about I think the legacy, you still see that today. You still see jerseys of some of those players. And it's because of what that summer did. And I think, you know, again, if they don't make those kind of moves at the trade deadline, I don't think it has that bandwidth many years later.
That's a really good point about social media. You're right, because that allowed fans across the country to kind of connect over this team, right? And I think contributed obviously to the excitement and contributed to the sense of belonging to this team and this team belonging to its fans, right? All of that interaction that was taking place. And you're right, for younger people, I mean, you know, that demographic shifted. Going to a Jays game became sort of the thing to do that summer and into the fall, obviously, right? That was a night out, like, let's go to a Jays game, you know? And it sort of, I guess, like I said earlier, it just brought a lot of fans on board who might otherwise not have really invested any time or money into the team. And, you know, I've often wondered, and this is just sort of a side note here, I've often wondered if Alex Anthopoulos was not leaving at the end of that season, would those moves have been made? Would he have traded those prospects? It's a question that can't be answered, obviously. It's something that I've always wondered. And I just feel like it was, you know, when you look at the whole context of all of it, everything was just, all of the little pieces were there. It was like the perfect storm leading to Anthopoulos deciding to make those moves at the deadline.
Well, for sure. And I think probably, you know, and he even talked about this during his run as GM of the Atlanta Braves when they won the World Series in 2021, and how he regrets not making moves in 2014, that season earlier. And I think that, again, you know, for him, like, again, I mean, I feel like when you're in a position, especially within a sports organization as a GM, where you sort of feel like your job's on the line, right? Like, you know, your job is on the line, you know, your future's on the line. You might take a little bit more fewer gambles than when it's a little bit more secure. And
right.
I think that's what Alex thought. And certainly, as we sort of get into, you know, the aftermath of that season, I mean, obviously the bat flip game, you know, lives on in Blue Jays lore, an unfortunate ending. Because again, as we've said on this podcast previously, I mean, the Jays, you can make a case, were the best team in baseball that season, lost to the Kansas City Royals in the ALCS. Alex leaves, right? And that, I think, really disappointed a lot of fans. But again, I think if Alex did not make, A, did not make those moves, or B, those moves did not pay off in the form of a division title and playoff run. Because sometimes, Jen, that happens, right? You know, you make a move at the deadline and it just doesn't work out, right? You know, you can make a case now. Again, I know it's, you know, maybe not the most apt comparison because, of course, Breo signed an extension this offseason. But if we just look in the context of 2021, when the Blue Jays made that trade for Breo's, they didn't make the playoffs, right? So
right.
It hasn't paid off yet. Hopefully it does, and I think it will. But I think the fact is that fan sentiment can change so much. Like, if Alex Anthopoulos does not make the playoffs in 2015, fans are booting him out of town here in Toronto. And I don't think he goes on to have the success like he does in Atlanta. And 6 years later, he's a World Series champion.
Well, and that's the interesting part about kind of rewriting history, right? Because there were times when fans wanted to run Alex Anthopoulos out.
Sure.
Right? And then, lo and behold, 2015 happens, and all of a sudden, fans are raising him up on a pedestal and are still lamenting the fact that he's gone. Some anyways, right? I think we're, most people are maybe past that at this point, but you know, it really is like this rewriting of history and how the fan base viewed his tenure. And, you know, had he made these moves in 2015 and they not made the playoffs, you know, imagine what the reaction then would have been. And, you know, another thing too, you look at who was given up in those trades, right? Because it did, you know, we know the fact that ultimately after 2016, you know, it was clear that they needed to do a rebuild and they did need to sort of restock the farm system a little bit. But when you look at the people that were traded away, do you miss any of them?
No. You make those moves any day of the week, right? Now,
no.
I get the opinion of, look, you know, Mark Shapiro, Ross Atkins wanting to restock the farm system because the farm system is used as trade chips, right?
Look at
Austin Martin, Simeon Woods, Richardson to go get Jose Barrios. That is why you restock the farm system, to make those kind of trades when you're in a contending mode. But you make those trades any day of the week if you're Alex Anthopoulos, to get guys like a Tulo, like a David Price, which will make your team better. And it did, right? So I understand where people are saying, like, oh, you know, it went all in, got rid of all the prospects. Well, I
think Blue Jays
fans, like, that's a price you're willing to pay, exactly, to get the kind of memories, to get the kind of history that was made with that team that's still talked about, Jet. Like, listen to the radio stations last summer and you hear about, oh, how does 2021 compare to 2015? It's because they made those moves at the deadline.
Absolutely. And I mean, I've seen Twitter polls about comparisons to these two teams as recently as last week. People were comparing these two teams, right? Because, you know, the attachment to that 2015 group was so strong and so indelible, and people are still, you know, kind of emotionally attached, I guess would be the right way of phrasing it. And, you know, yes, then there were a couple of, you know, lean years in there, but now this fan base has yet another team that is really, really good. Definitely, you know, playoff contenders, and is also really likable. And so that feeling is right back at the forefront. And, you know, as we're recording this, I'm staring at two prints that I have on my wall, one of the bat flip and one of Edwin Encarnacion with his hands raised in the air, dropping the bat.
Right.
Right. I mean, these 2015, 2016 lives on as artwork in my home.
and here's a couple of last points I'll make is, until the Blue Jays win the World Series, that 2015 team will still be like in a rare place. I mean, again, they didn't win the World Series. They didn't win the ultimate prize, but again, like you said earlier, reinvigorated the fan base. And of course, you know, it lives on through a lot of these, you know, collectibles that we still collect, photos, artwork, whatever. I think it still lives on. The last point I'll make about the legacy is, I think with that trade deadline, the trade deadline's after, and certainly now as the team is starting to get competitive again, fans want moves. Like fans, I think, demand, you know, a little bit of, you know, well, how are we going to make this team better? What's going to be the move to make this team better so it can go, you know, over the hump to get to not just the playoffs, but the World Series? And I think that it goes back to our conversations that we've had on previous podcasts about Mark Shapiro and his connection with ownership is that it's a better place now. Right. And I think it stems back from what that 2015 season did in terms of attendance. They remember, right? They remember what it was like seeing Rogers Center filled. So I think that not every trade deadline is going to be a home run. But I think now with the Blue Jays where they are, now again, they were sellers at some point, but I would say that now, like with the team doing well again, there's an expectation to be a buyer and to make the moves to become a better team. And I think it stems from that 2015 season.
Well, and that's much more exciting place to be as a fan, right?
Right.
Is to expect your team to be buyers rather than sellers. This is, the grass is definitely greener on this side of the fence for sure. And, you know, we know that this team still probably has a few moves that they were going to need to make in order to make up that gap and return to the playoffs. And it might cost them some prospects along the way. But I think, you know, from that 2015 team, fans have seen that payoff. And I think that that's, you know, as you said, exactly what people would be expecting.
We unfortunately are out of time, and this was a fun conversation, a fun way to look back, truly one of the, you know, memorable times in recent memory of the Blue Jays as a franchise. Can't believe it was 6 years ago, but hopefully more brighter days ahead for this organization. Again, pleased to be joined once again by MLB analyst Jen Smith. Jen, where can people find you on Twitter?
I can be found at baseball_Jen, and that is Jen with two N's.
MLB analyst Jen Smith. All right, everyone, thank you so much for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen every day. Now make your second listen Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets is hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and available on all platforms. Locked On Blue Jays is also free and available on all platforms. For this episode of Locked On Blue Jays, I'm your co-host, Lucas Weiss. We'll chat again soon.